In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Again, we take up the topic of repentance. Recall, repentance has two parts. The first is contrition, that is sorrow over sin, the terrors of conscience when we realize what we deserve because of our sins. The second part of repentance is faith, which clings to the promise of God. The third part, we might say, are the fruits of repentance that flow from faith. But as I said last week, those are often just grouped in with faith, the second part. Last week we discussed where we dealt with contrition. Today we speak on faith. May God grant us grace. Faith is only as good as its object. If you have faith in a country that's a pretty poor faith, for someday you will be disappointed. Maybe not today, but probably tomorrow. If you have faith in the goodness of mankind, you also will be disappointed, for you know the evils and atrocities that we humans have inflicted on each other. And so we often have faith in ourselves, in our abilities, in our sense and intellect that we will get things done right. We know when we do it, it is done the right way, and we don't have to worry about it. This too is a pretty poor faith. For regardless of what we are able to do right now, we know that none of it can save us in that day when the Lord comes to call us home. So Christian faith, true saving faith, is found solely in the Lord. For that God does not change. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he promised to Abraham 4,000 years ago is still true for us today. What he promised to the Israelites in his word are still a benefit for us in our ears this day. So faith never looks inward toward itself. Faith never directs itself toward me, but faith always looks outward. Faith always gazes outward toward the God who gives that faith and toward the God who will not change, regardless of what happens around us. So for us, faith is everything. Without it, we have nothing, and with it, we have everything. Many have contrition, that is, sorrow over sin. Many know that they have regrets and guilt. They have done things wrong and made mistakes. They wish they could go back and fix it, but we all know we can't. But contrition is not enough for salvation. Last week, we gave the example of Judas and King Saul. Both were very, very troubled. Judas so much so that he took his own life. Contrition is not enough. Faith must be added. Faith which reaches out and grasps the promises of God, for without faith, it doesn't matter how sorry or how bad you feel, it will never deliver you from eternal death. So faith holds on to the forgiveness of God. Faith holds on to that Savior God who takes our sin and dies in our place. Look at Adam. Adam and Eve did not have faith. They're scurrying around as God is coming to them in the cool of the day, trying to hide from that God because they only know one word. On the day you eat of it, you will surely die. They do not yet have a promise of God. They do not yet have faith. They are completely terrified, thinking God is coming to strike them down right then and there. So God speaks a different word to them. The seed of the woman will come and crush the serpent's head. Faith lives by this forgiving gospel promise and finds its life in that word. Or think of Jonah. He knew full well what he had done. He knew the consequences of running away from God. He did not turn toward the Lord in faith, but he actually ran away in the opposite direction. He was cast into the sea so that the sea would be still. He sank down to the depths. He knew full well he should have been cast into hell that very moment, for he had fled away from God and not toward God. And yet he also had the promise of God. He knew that the Lord never turns a deaf ear to those who cry out to him in faith, that he always hears, he always answers, he always is gracious and merciful. So from the very pit of the earth, he calls out to God for help. from the belly of the fish, his faith takes hold of a merciful and forgiving God. In faith, Jonah turned away from himself and finally ran toward God instead of away. In faith, we also turn away from ourselves and toward this God. Only he can bring us up from hell. Faith cries out to this God and is never silent, because without God we have nothing. So faith must be added, or else we will be lost eternally. Unlike Adam, and even unlike Jonah, we know full well what the fulfillment of these promises are. The blessed seed of the woman has come. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has crushed Satan's head and has been buried with our sins, only to rise free from our sin. Forgiveness flows from him to the four corners of the world, as that gospel has been preached in all creation. Faith holds on to that man. Faith wants him. Faith will not let him go. So faith enters this building this night to receive the forgiveness from that God. We know our works are not enough, for sinking down into those depths of hell, the harder we try, the more our sinful seaweed wraps around us and drags us down. So we fling ourselves completely on God. We confess all of our sins, no matter how disgusting or embarrassing or silly they were, for we know what God will say. We are confident of what God will say. There is no doubt in our mind whatsoever what God will say when we confess our sins. He will forgive. He will always forgive for the sake of his Son. We do not confess because confession is good for the soul and it makes us feel better about ourselves and we can unload our burdens. No. We confess for one reason and one reason alone. To hear the voice of God say, I forgive you all your sins. I have died for you, so you will not die. But we must make something perfectly clear. God does not forgive us because we confess. Neither does God forgive us because we have faith. Our faith doesn't earn forgiveness from God. Neither will God forgive us because we feel so bad and terrible about what we have done. God forgives because Christ died. Because he paid the full price for our sins. Forgiveness is won by Christ, not by our tears and not by our broken heart. Forgiveness is found solely in Christ, not inside of us. Forgiveness is given because of Christ, not because we work so hard to feel bad, and not because we believe. It is not by works, says St. Paul, but it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith reaches out and holds on to this promise of God, to this forgiveness, and wants nothing else but that. As Paul says to the Romans, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. It's either grace or it's works. And if it's by works, then it's not because of Christ. And so cast aside every work, cast aside everything you have done, whether good or bad, whether pleasing to others or completely shameful, cast it all aside. For Christ and Christ alone is your Redeemer. Without the promise, without that promise of salvation in Christ, faith has nothing. So faith lives by that word of God, that for enduring word of God. It will not boast in itself. It will not take pride in how much better I am than you. But it boasts in the Lord. For in the Lord there is full and free redemption. It turns away from itself and toward that gracious God who does it all for us. So turn away from yourself and turn toward that God who promises to give you free and full forgiveness. For what other God has come down from heaven to die your death? What other man has been raised from the dead, proving that he is God? What other God-man promises to come back for you, to take you home to your place in heaven? Only Jesus. Only the God-man who bore your sins and rose for your life. Only him. So do not let go of him. Even if he throws you into the belly of a fish, don't let go of him. He must love you. He must be gracious. He must forgive. He must save you. He must deliver you. He can do no other. He can never punish you, for he himself has suffered your punishment. He himself stands between you and God's wrath as a perfect mediator, an all-atoning sacrifice for your sins. No matter how bad you feel about yourself, no matter how sad you are over your imperfections, no matter how terrified you are that you got it wrong and deserve hell, flee to Christ. Don't try to set aside or set off these sins with your good works. It will not work. But Christ has made a full atonement for them. Set Christ between you and hell. Set Christ between you and the wrath of God. Set Christ between you and your terrified conscience. Set Christ between you and your guilt and your regrets and your sadness. Set Christ between you and anything that tries to condemn you. And then you can say with a cheerful conscience, "No one can condemn me or accuse me, not even God himself. For Christ is my mediator, Christ is my atonement, my sacrifice, who has poured out his blood for me. He has done it all. It is finished by him. There is nothing for me to do, nothing at all." And as Christ rose from the dead on the third day, so you also rise. So you also rise to live before God in true righteousness and holiness forever. So this then is the difference between knowledge and faith. Knowledge knows all this. It knows its catechism well. It knows the Bible and what Jesus did well. Faith believes this. Faith lives this. Which is simply to say, faith daily turns away from itself and toward this forgiving God who comes to forgive in the Word and the sacraments.